Good to see you all. Hey, look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look good today. Yeah, yes. Look to your other neighbor and say, you too. You too. Hey, it's so good to be here in church, in God's house, God's people. Man, it's no place I'd rather be than be with God's family. After the last sermon, last service, a young lady came up to me afterwards, after service, and it's like, Pastor Travis, like, how did you just become just such a man of God? Like, how did you become like a speaker or just a good person? And she said, and I know your story that you didn't have a father growing up or whatever. And I told her, because I had a good church growing up, you know, and it's not like a good church. It's nothing like it, and so you're in a good church. It's a good spot. So, hey, we're going to be talking about God's presence this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, verse 9, we're going to start at. And sorry for the small print there on the screen. Good to be here. Good to be here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we know that you're here. So, God, would you speak to us? God, would you give us a word? And, Lord, would you speak through me? Lord, I pray that I don't get in the way, Father. And I pray that everything that you have to say to your people, God, that you may say it today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. We all said, amen. Amen. So, we've been talking about the presence of God for the past few weeks. From grace to glory. We were talking about how the grace of God is the presence of God, and it's by his grace that we get to be in the presence of God, and it always leads to his glory. God's presence always, 100% of the time, whenever you're in God's presence, it always leads to him getting glory in some form or fashion. And today, we're going to talk about how whenever we're in the presence of God, it always leads to us giving God the glory through our prayers for others, we're going to look at the life of Moses, and we're going to see how he changed an entire generation because of a prayer. He saved an entire nation because of a prayer. And so let's read the scripture today, starting at verse 9 of Exodus 32. It says this, "And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make you into a great nation. But Moses implored to the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with your mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel and your servants, to him you have swore by yourself and said to them that I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people." And the Lord relented from his disaster. We're going to talk about prayer today. But before we talk about prayer, I just want to communicate today, once again, as Pastor Sean has the past couple of weeks. And if you haven't been here for the past 2 weeks, I encourage you to download our app on your smartphone. And you can watch our sermons on there, or you can go to our websites to watch the sermons there. But we've been talking about the presence of God and how amazing it is to be in the presence of God. And it's sometimes some of us, you know, I was talking a couple of weeks ago to a college student, right? And he was asking me, hey, man, why do you want to spend the rest of your life telling people about Jesus? And I told him that I want to give hope to the world, to a broken world. I want to make sure they get healed and God can save them of their sins. And I began going on and on of why I want to share my faith with the world. And the young man was very appreciative and very grateful that I was helping out people. He thought I was a good person. But he just didn't get the whole church idea, the whole following God idea, because he said to me, hey, I don't want to give up my drugs and give up my party and my sex. And for me to be, to go to church every week and to pray and just to read the Bible, and that's it. And I told him, I said, no, there's so much more to the Christian life. We get joy, and yeah, we got to read our Bible, and yeah, we get the chance to read our Bible. We get to pray. We get to do these things. And it's awesome. We get to go to church and be God's family, and it's awesome. But the greatest thing about being a follower of God is that we get God himself. Like, we get to be in the presence of God. Like, and sometimes we forget about those moments. Sometimes we forget the amazing moments of us being in the same spot as God. You know, I love what David says in Psalm 139. He says this. He says, if I ascend all the way to heaven, God, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, God, you're there. It's as if David, he could not escape the presence of God. And I just want to encourage some of you this morning. You may have come in here and you may disqualify yourself from the presence of God because you are basing the presence on a presence of God based off your performance. And God will let you know today, no matter where you're at in life, no matter where you're at in your journey, walking with God. You could be discovering God this morning. You could be just figuring it out, and you could not be just great with your walk with God. You could be far away, and you could be real close this morning. No matter where you are this morning, God's presence is for you. It's for you. This past week, I was spending an entire week at Regent University, and I was in this class, and this theological class, they're talking about history and theology and all this deep stuff. And the professor stops the class. And we're all just kind of like, what is he doing? And he said, we're gonna seek the presence of God in this class. And it was absolutely amazing. I'm telling you, it was about a group of about 20 of us. And we began to pray and ask God, say, God, would you allow us to be in your presence? Would you allow us to realize it? And I tell you what, people, like that day, like a few days ago, I was in the presence of God like I've never been in my entire life. And the professor says, this should be every moment of your life. Because the presence of God is not based off the location of God, but the presence of God is based off the location of your heart. Because he's always there. He's always there. And it's just if your heart is focused enough, are you willing to block out the distractions of this world, to block out all the things, and you to realize and you understand that the God who measured the depths of the ocean in the palm of his hand, the God who measured the universe by the wingspans of his arm, we are in the same room as that God. And sometimes it overwhelms me when I think about it. Like, God, you're here right now. Some of us, we have made church, and our walk with God is just coming to church, modifying your behavior, but not experiencing the presence of God. And so Moses, he is coming down from the mountain, right? He just heard from God. He just finished spending some time in the presence of God, literally the presence of God, and he was on fire for God. And he comes on down this mountain, the Bible says, and he sees the people of God. They begin to make false idols. They begin to build calves and other things with the things made of man, and they begin to worship these things. And God got upset with the people. And God told Moses, I'm going to destroy all these people. But we're going to see today that Moses prayed a prayer that saved that entire nation. And I'm praying and I'm believing God that we can pray prayers for our streets. We can pray prayers for our family. We can pray prayers for our generation that can literally save an entire generation. I'm believing it. And so we're going to look at the scripts today, and I love the next slide. Here's this. God's presence always burns our hearts for prayer. God's presence always, it burdens our heart for prayer. Let's look at Moses' prayer for a second, right? Number one, Moses' prayer focused on others, not himself. Come on, let's read the prayer together. It says this. Lord, why did your wrath burn against these people? Like God, could you just relinquish? Could you just not burn these people? Right? He wasn't focused on himself, right? Because here's a crazy part about this scripture, right? Moses, he could have, like, if he wanted, he could have listened to God, right? Because God told him and said, hey, I'm going to make you into a great nation. God said in verse 10, now therefore let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them. I may consume them in order that I may make you into a great nation. You get that? God said, hey, how about this? I'm going to kill all them and I'm going to promote you, and that's going to be awesome. Right? I mean, that's like God coming to me. It was like, hey, Pastor Travis, I got a deal for you. All right, Pastor Sean hasn't been doing well, so I'm going to kill him. And then I'm going to allow you to be the senior pastor, and you get to run this thing, right? I would be like, yes, God, let it happen. Yeah? Let it happen, Lord, right? I mean, come on. Like, I mean, God said, Moses, hey, Moses, I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to turn you into a great nation. I'm going to make you someone great. I'm going to make you significant. I'm going to make you this awesome. But Moses says, no, God. I want to make sure you save this generation. I love what Philippians says. Paul says in Philippians, he says this, like, real humility is like when we consider others more significant than ourselves. And here's an interesting part about this prayer, this whole situation here. Like, so Moses is saying, God, don't destroy them. And some of this generation and some of the people that he was praying for, they were going to inherit the promised land and not Moses. Moses was willing to give up his promised land experience so that others can be saved, so that others can experience the presence and the fruit of God. I just want to think about this one quote. If God answered all your prayers, would your life be the only thing that changes? Like, think about the prayers you've prayed. And for those of you who do pray, for those of you who don't pray, I encourage you to pray. But for those of you who pray, think about all the prayers you prayed in the last couple of weeks. Would your life be the only thing that changes? You see, Moses' prayer wasn't focused on himself. It was all about others. God, would you save them? And secondly is this, Moses' prayer, it was filled with compassion for others. I mean, you think about it, he could say, God, okay, God, yeah, they got issues, God, burn them up, God. Right? Burn them up. But no, he had compassion towards these people. He had a heart towards these people. In fact, some translation, the Bible says that Moses, he was crying out. He was like some of the Hebrew words, some like his body was crying out to God with all of his rib cages closing in, saying, God, please don't burn them. God, please don't do anything to them. God, would you save them? Would you give them a second chance? And I just want to ask you all this morning, when the last time we prayed like that for the world around us? The last time we prayed Moses' type prayers that changes a generation, that changes people's lives and make a difference in this world. So why should we pray? Number one, because it works. Right? It works. I was telling another service, I tell the youth this all the time, because I pray for sometimes random things and God just give them to me. Like, seriously, non-important thing, non-spiritual things, God just always give it to me. So we were living in Orlando for years back, and we weren't really making much money. We were youth pastors and living in downtown Orlando. And so we used to ride past this place in Dr. Phillips. It's this area, a suburb of Orlando that's kind of well-to-do people that live there. And so it was this place called Stonebridge that we always wanted to live in. And so literally every time I used to ride by Stonebridge on the way to work, I used to say, God, let me stay in Stonebridge. God, let me stay in Stonebridge. I used to always pray those prayers, right? And I would go home and say, Brittany, we're going to live in Stonebridge. And Brittany was like, no, we're not, you know? Love you, boo. And I just remember, I said, we're going to do it. And so literally one day when our lease was almost about to run up, I just called them. I said, I'm going to call by faith. I've been praying, so God's going to answer my prayer. I called them up. Do-do-do-do-do. Answer the phone. And lady picks up. I was like, ma'am, I'm just going to say this is what we can afford, and is there any place in Stonebridge that's somebody that's selling their house or want to rent it for a while? She's like, yes. I was like, what? I got surprised by my own prayer. Like, God, you answered it, really? And I just never get, like, honestly, us moving in, me looking at Brittany was like, yeah, God, he did it. It was amazing. I mean, like, we had, like, the gated fence. Like, you got to flash this card to get in, or there's a security guard there. I'm like, you know. I remember one day I had, like, a Hawaiian shirt on. Like, it was a nice sunny day in Florida. I buttoned it halfway, let the air go through my chest hair and just ride out. Because we had, like, this long driveway, like, all these palm trees. I'm like, oh, this is the life. But I promise you guys, we did not belong there, but, man, we prayed. And I just want to encourage you, sometimes, like some of you, you've been praying prayers, or you've been praying and believing God for some things, and you may think that he has not answered your prayers, but let me encourage you this morning, he answers all your prayers. He may not answer them in the way that you want them. Man, I've been praying for just a lot of things, and I haven't seen God do them, but I just know that God's answered them, and maybe not in the way that I really want it. Right? So it's important that we understand the idea that prayer, it works. And Moses' prayer, it works. And theologians sometimes, they debate over this passage, right? Because Moses, I mean, God said, hey, he's going to burn him. He was about to do it. And God, and Moses said, hey, wait. And theologians debate, like, do our prayers really change the mind of God? Like, do our prayers really change God's mind? But we see in this text here, I mean, God was about to do it, and the prayer of Moses changed and saved the generation because prayer works. Secondly is this. The reason why we should pray, because Jesus prays for us, right? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says this, therefore he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him, right? And he lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. And this is referring to Jesus, and this is saying this, that Jesus, on a daily basis, on a moment basis, he is praying to God for us. Wow. I mean, we can't hear him praying, but he's praying. He's up there right now. And could you imagine the prayers that Jesus is praying to God? You know, could you imagine how Jesus had to kind of come up with excuses why we do certain things to God? Like, Yeah, God, I know he got issues. I know he ate all the cookies in the house, and he said none for his wife. But God, just save him. I save them, Lord God. Just give me some work. Give me some more time with them, right? Could you imagine the prayers that Jesus is praying to God, that he's interceding on our behalf? He's like, Jesus, God, just look at me. I know their life got issues, but just look at me, all right? Look at me, because they got issues. Now, if you look at them, it'd be... But he's always praying for us. And that's an amazing part of our prayer. But here's the deal. See, Moses is a type of Jesus, meaning this, that Moses is an example of Jesus. So whatever Moses did in the Old Testament to God's people, Jesus does in the spiritual for all of us. So meaning this is that Moses delivered the people out of Egypt, delivered from Pharaoh's army, you know, saved them in this prayer right here that we're reading. And so Moses did all these things for the people of God, but Jesus does all these things for us. Spiritually, in our hearts. And he's praying, God, would you save them spiritually right now? The reason why we should pray is because Jesus is praying for us, and the least what we could do is pray for a world that don't know him. That pray for a world, a generation that's worshiping idols, worshiping false gods. We should pray because it works and because Jesus prays for us. Thinking about my beautiful mother-in-law is here. What's up, Gwen? And my wife. My mother-in-law, for most of Brittany, I'm sure Brittany told a story, but Brittany has, when she was growing up, her mom, which is here, was addicted to drugs. And I just remember there was moments, and Brittany used to always say, because she got saved at a young age at fourth grade. And from the fourth grade on, she would pray to God, God, would you save my mom? Would you deliver my mom from these substances? And she would pray and pray. And there were times, and it seems like the prayer was never going to be answered. There were times where she was far off. But here is the deal. About 5 years ago, God answered her prayer. And she is looking good as ever. I thank God all the time for answering her prayer because she cooked some good fried chicken. I'm telling y'all. Hallelujah. Shout out. Man, it works. I just want to encourage you all. Some of you, you're believing God to save some people. And what we're going to do, we're heading towards this. We want to have us all commit to praying for everyone on our street and everyone in our workplaces. Here's why, because it just works. And we're just praying that we may pray prayers like Moses did that would save an entire generation. I don't know what would have happened to the history of the people of Israel if Moses didn't pray that prayer. I don't know God's ultimate plan, and I'm sure he knows, but literally, I don't know what would have happened. I'm not sure God would have just kind of destroyed all God's people and built a new people through Moses. But Moses' prayer changed the generation. So here's how we should pray. We should pray for an opportunity to encourage and meet a practical need in someone's life, right? We should pray for an opportunity. Secondly, we should pray for grace so that change can happen in the lives of people. And number three, we should pray for wisdom to invite into God's family. God, would you give us wisdom of how to invite people to be in this room with us, to be in God's family, right? Because Moses' prayer, like it started something, a great nation that we're the result of this prayer. And I just pray that whenever we pray, God, would you give us an opportunity to meet a practical need in someone's life? Just give us an opportunity to encourage them, hey, man, you're doing a good job, or thank you, or this, can I help you out? You know? God, could we pray for grace so that change can happen? I know in this world, we got a lot of stuff going on, and we got a lot of issues, a lot of false gods, a lot of worship of false things, and a lot of different agendas in our culture. And I know all the things that we got to pray for and the things that we are upset that a society is really going towards. But let's not pray that God can condemn and condemn all the homosexuals. But can we just pray that God can save all of them? You know? God, could you just save them? I mean, like Moses' prayer, this wasn't, God, would you just burn them all? Moses' prayer, like, God, would you just save them from your wrath? God, would you show them your grace? And everything else will take care of itself, right? And pray for wisdom. God, would you give us wisdom of how to invite people into your family and how to invite people to church and all different services and events that we have coming up? It's super important that we do that. But I want to close by saying this. The other day, I was, last year, we were, most people know I'm from Miami, right? So I'm a kind of a city boy, so I don't know a lot about different yard work or anything like that. And so for the first time, I cut grass for the first time when I moved here. I was a grown man and I didn't know how to cut grass. You know, I'm not a huge handyman. The only power tool I know how to use is a vacuum cleaner. So. Don't really know much about this kind of stuff. And so my grass has suffered because of that. But don't judge me, okay? Don't be that lady in the street that judged you. And so I was, one day my grass is okay. It's not bad, but it's not great at all. But you know, you got that one lady on your street that she spends all her life on her grass, you know? And then you make yourself feel better by saying, well, I'm doing something important with my life. You're spending in your yard. Well, you do that, lady. You know, I make all these different excuses of why my yard is not on par with hers. And one day, she was, like, walking by my house with something very similar to this. I'm like, what is she doing? I'm outside in the blinds, like, what is she doing? And this lady was spreading grass seed in my yard. I didn't even ask her. I'm like, what, God, what is going on? And so, you know, I just was out there, and we scared the baby. Bless her heart. So we were, a few months later, like, literally, the grass, it started, like, turning green. But just a warning, like, when you put, like, grass seed in your yard, like, the grass, you got to cut the grass every week. Like, we had to cut it so much. I'm like, oh, my goodness, lady. Every week. So literally, she was riding by and just put grass in our yard. And I was thinking the other day, like, what if we walk by our neighbors' houses and put seeds of prayer in their homes? I want to invite Pastor Brandon to come on up. But like, what if we decide, like, hey, we're going to walk our blocks, and we're not putting, you know, grass seed, but we're sowing seeds of prayer, right? Like, we were singing in the first song today, Lord, would you send down the rain? Like, God, could you rain down on us? And we can pray for rain, and that's a great idea, and that's a good prayer to pray, that's a good song to sing, but the rain doesn't matter unless we plant seeds in the ground. And I just believe that God wants to do something special in our generation. I believe that God wants to do something special in our culture. But we can pray for the rain, but we got to begin to plant seeds of prayer. God, would you save our neighborhood? God, would you save our block? God, would you give me the opportunity to encourage and meet a practical need? God, would you pray for grace in their lives, God? Lord, give them a second chance, God. Let them know how much you love them, God. God, would you give me wisdom to just invite them to your family, God? Just give me a quick insight of how to let them know about your love and the family of God. I just pray for that. You can go to this next slide here. This young man, this is me, this is past week, and this young man, his name is Absalom. I met him this past week, he was in my class. He actually flew here from Ethiopia to spend a week at Regent. And I didn't know anything about it. We've been praying for Ethiopia as a family, right? We've been praying, God, would you do something new? We start a revival over there through our clinic. God, would you save people? Well, this is man's name, Absalom. And so he's an absolutely just incredible man. I got to hear a story. I told him what we were doing in our church, right? And I said, yeah, man, it's awesome. Yeah, we're building like a clinic. We're building a clinic in Ethiopia. We're sending teams there like once a year. And he's like, really? Really, a clinic? It's like, yeah, it's like, it's this town called Guinness Test Force right outside Deal. No, I've heard about that. And this guy was like, yeah, I've heard about this great move of God happening inside of a medical clinic. And we don't know this guy. Like, I've never met this guy, I promise. I called Sean, like, the next day. Like, man, this is crazy. Like, God's answering our prayers. And I just began to think about, man, all of you who have prayed for Ethiopia and prayed for that clinic, God, would you save that Muslim nation? And we're seeing the fruit of it. So this man, this is what he's doing. Like, he's learning how to be, he's going to be like the superintendent for all kids ministry in that area, right? And he's going to come down here. He's in D.C. for another couple months. He's going to come down here. He's going to meet with our team. He's going to tell them about all the stuff that God's doing there. It's going to be awesome. But here's the deal. It's because we begin to pray. God, don't show your wrath on them, God. Would you have mercy on them, Lord? And I just believe in for the same thing for your neighborhood, same thing for your jobs, that we will plant seeds of prayer in the lives of our people. And we're not going to ask them even, right? We're just going to just do it. Could we all stand? And just real fast, what we're going to do, all of you received a yellow sheet in your bulletin, your a green sheet right there. What we call it? Jump in cards. Thank you. This right here. And so what we're going to do right now is that we're going to ask you all to fill this out. And on this sheet, we want you to put the street that you live on and the street that you work on. And in a minute, we're going to ask you all to come up and to leave these pieces of paper on this altar as a commitment to yourself and to us as a family, as we're all agreeing together. Hey, we're going to pray, and we're going to leave seeds of prayer in our neighborhood and in the place where we're working at. So if you can fill that out right now, just real quick, and just begin to fill that out and put the street that you work on, the street that you live on. And as a commitment, hey, we're going to pray for that street. We're going to pray Moses' prayer. God, would you save this generation? God, would you give them a second chance? God, would you not have your wrath on them? And then we're going to pray for the rain, and we're going to ask God to water those seeds of prayer. Pastor Brandon's going to lead us in a worship chorus. And when Pastor Brandon leads us in a worship chorus, and when he starts singing, it's your cue to come down here, right here on this altar, and just lay these things down. And as a staff, we're gonna pray over them and during this week. But it's just a commitment to you and to us as a family that we're gonna pray for our blocks. So would you come down now? Pastor Brandon, would you lead us in a time of worship?
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. He has conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Everyone needs compassion, kindness of a Savior. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness. Kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. Jesus conquered the grave.
We're going to take a moment to begin to practice what we're preaching. We're going to take a moment to pray for the blocks we live on and the blocks we live on. Some of you are doing grace baskets. You want to include that block because you want to be praying for that business. But what we're asking is that as we finished up a series called Grow Up in Grace, and now we're saying, you know what, when grace comes in our lives, it should turn out to be for somebody else. I mean, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. And so we want to begin this transition from now on, this week on forward for the next few weeks, that you make a commitment to walk your block in prayer at least once a week. So it's good because you need to go walking anyway. Right? It's nice outside. As couples, you should totally do that anyway. And say, just taking the time to walk around. And we want you to walk your block, the blocks you've prayed for, that you were down, at least once a week. About 15 minutes, you go walk it and pray. And what I'm going to do is I took Pastor Travis's prayer guide, and I just made it into Grow. I pray for grace. I pray for repentance. I pray for opportunity. And I pray for wisdom. That's all you got to remember. Just walk around and say, Lord, I'm just praying for grace, that you would encourage people so that they could change, that they start feeling like they could look to you. I'm going to pray for repentance because people do have to confess sin, but I'm not going to make that my last prayer, because when I make it my last prayer, all I end up doing is going into the condemnation part where they really need to repent. You know, let's pray for repentance and then move on and pray for, all right, give me opportunity to be part of the prayer, just a moment to meet them. And then also give me wisdom so I know how to share, invite them to church. What we're going to do is we've got the next 2 weeks. We got Palm Sunday, then we have Easter Sunday you can invite them to. We want to be praying for all our businesses. But also within the first Sunday of May is our anniversary as a church. This year, we're using our anniversary Sunday. We do the big tent outside. We do inflatables, all those things. We're going to use that as a community outreach. My brother Seth, who is a Harlem Globetrotter, is coming. He's going to do some stuff in schools the days before the event. And what we're asking you to do is basically it's about 6 weeks. For 6 weeks, we're asking you at least once a week to walk your block in prayer, to walk your business in prayer, and say, Lord, would you begin to bring grace to this place? Would you begin to draw them to repentance? Would you begin to give me an opportunity to interact with them, be part of the process, and give me wisdom? Maybe I can invite them to one of these things. So we're praying over the next 6 weeks that what has grown in us will begin to grow in the world around us. Can I get an amen for that? Because it's about them too, right? So you can start doing this once a week, right? Start doing this around just planting seeds of faith, of the words of the Lord. We're going to take a moment to do that right now. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to practice what we've just preached and heard and what we've committed to. I'm going to ask you for the next few moments to go through that grow. Lord, would you bring grace? Start literally thinking about your block. Think about it, Lord. And just if the Lord reminds you of, I began to pray this prayer last week because I knew this was coming. There's a, you know how you have neighbors that once or twice you tried to invite and then you kind of gave up on them? You know those people? Yeah, I'm the only one. I don't think so. I started praying for them again this past week, and I just ran them into, ran into them at the Y and had this like literally 30-minute conversation where they shared stuff they've never shared with me before. And all of a sudden, it's just because I started praying again. I mean, God just started doing it. So I want to encourage you to start thinking through your neighborhood and start praying. And as the Lord shows you things, like maybe you'll really bless some person like Pastor Travis and take care of their yard. Now they'll have to actually cut it often. However that works. But we're going to take a few minutes to do that. Never forget that where you live is sacred. God chose for you to live there. You're there in that neighborhood for a reason. So let's take a moment. I'm going to lead in prayer for a moment, and then we're just going to have some time of silent prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that as the scripture says, you choose where we live. You choose where we work. And Father, everybody around there may not be choosing you, but you've chosen us. So Lord, we pray right now that you begin to give us a heart. Lord, we pray that grace would begin to happen in our neighborhood in ways that open people's eyes to what the gospel is all about. Lord, we pray for repentance. Lord, people need to confess their false idols and their sinful ways. But Lord, we're praying that you give us an opportunity to be part of the encouragement, the grace, the work of the truth. And we're also praying for wisdom because most of us aren't very good at doing it. So Lord, we pray that right now, would you begin to unleash a new harvest of joy at the throne room of heaven as you give us seed to begin to scatter throughout these blocks. So we take these next few minutes, and for our neighborhoods and our workplaces, we begin to pray these things. Hear our prayers now. Would you take some time and just intercede, even as Moses interceded for those around him?